Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Been meditating on one scripture about God's guidance, and out of that came this message and probably many more to go along with it. And it's Psalm 32 verse 8. This is how the Amplified Version says, I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I'll counsel you. I'll guide you with my eye upon you. I, the Lord, the Creator, your Creator, I know how you're wired. I know how you think. I know what you've been through. I know your future. I, the Lord, the one and only, no one ever like me, never will be, I will instruct you. I'll give you instructions. I will teach you, not just instruct you, but I will teach you. I'll instruct you. I'll show you what do you do next when you don't know what to do. I will instruct you. Turn right, turn left, go here, do this. I will instruct you. I will teach you. I'm going to learn God's way. I'm going to teach you. My way is different from your way. I'm going to teach you my way. I will do this. You don't have, no, don't strive. I will teach you. I will instruct you, the Lord, and I will, number three, counsel you with my eye. My eye represents I see everything, I know everything. Nothing's hidden from my eye. You don't see everything, you don't know everything, but I do. And I'm going to counsel you with my all-seeing eye. And I'm going to give you solutions to problems that you don't know how to solve. Now, this reveals, this is written in the Old Testament, Psalm 32, verse 8. By the way, this would be a good one for you to meditate upon tonight before you go to bed. And I'm going to tell you more about that in a minute. But this reveals God's plan for mankind. God has always wanted to guide you, to counsel you, to instruct you. Like an apprentice, like a father-son apprenticeship. He's always wanted to say, I want to instruct you. You need instruction. I want to teach you. You need teaching. I want to counsel you. You need my counsel. He's always wanted this intimate relationship with us. Now, I've been reading the book of John lately, just on my own in the morning, just my personal time, just listening to the Lord and reading and studying the life of Jesus, because the life of Jesus is our model. Jesus lived the perfect life. Of course, he's God in the flesh, but he lived down here among us, one of us, with the limitations of man, and he lived here on earth as the example of the perfect life. Here's the model home. This is how you're to live the perfect life. Here's how you're to live life like Jesus. Okay. Now you can say, well, I can't live the perfect life like Jesus. Well, God says and thinks that you can. You know, Jesus had to learn things as a human being. He learned things by the things he suffered. It says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Galatians 2:20 says, Paul said that the life that I'm now living, right now, this moment, I live it by the faith of the Son of God, the same faith as the Son of God. Not an inferior faith, but the same faith as the Son of God. That happens to be Galatians 2:20, which to me represents 220 voltage or 220 power. That's high power. Now, you can live it life by high power, but it's got to be God's way, and He's going to have to instruct you. He wants to teach you, and He wants to counsel you how to do this. This is where I'm going. You might as well come along. That's where I want to go. I want to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to learn how to receive instructions from the Father. I want to learn how He teaches me. I want to learn, and I want to learn to recognize His counsel. And in John chapter 7, Jesus was at the Feast of Tabernacles. Say tabernacles, so I know you're with me. Okay. Feast of Tabernacles is usually into September or in October. And it varies each year on the calendar. And just a sidebar for a moment, more than likely, Jesus' birth actually came during the Feast of Tabernacles. He became flesh and dwelt among us. He tabernacled among us. God uses this calendar. That's His calendar, how He does things. More than likely, and not that it's that big a deal to us, but just for your sake, for knowledge's sake, more than likely Jesus' birth was actually Feast of Tabernacles. That goes along with God's calendar. And I heard somebody say that day, and we don't know, but more than likely that the conception of Jesus was December 25th. You know, I know the church and I know they picked out count, and you can read all that stuff on, but God's sovereignly behind the scenes, and we don't know, but I'm certain that God had a certain date when the seed of God, His Spirit, came upon Mary, and she conceived a certain day and a certain time. And if you do the math, it comes back around that it would be the Feast of Tabernacles that He'd be born. No charge for that. I'm just throwing that out there for free. Man, take it, grab it. So Jesus, anyway, He was at the Feast of Tabernacles, and He taught on the Feast of Tabernacles. He went into the temple, and He taught. And the Jews didn't like it. And look at what they said about Him. It says the Jews were astonished. How has this man become so versed in Scripture and in theology when he's never studied? Yeah, he is the Word, but I'm going somewhere with this. Now, hang on. And Jesus answered and them by saying, my teaching is not my own. I didn't come up with this. I didn't study the latest books. I didn't hear the latest rabbis and put stuff together. I didn't come up with this on my own. But it came from the One who sent me. Jesus never studied. Now, He had to learn to read. He had to learn to read the Old Testament scriptures that they had because He read it. He read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me in the temple. He read that. He read the scriptures. And the Bible says, although He was the Son, he learned obedience to the things He suffered. We don't know what all those things were. But He had to learn things as a human being, like we have to learn things. But I present to you, Jesus is our model. He is our example to learn from how to live the perfect life. And our example for living did not study. He learned revelation. He got revelation knowledge from God. And the teachings that He taught, the parables, all the things that He taught, He got them not from going to Bible college. He got them the same way that you and I can get them. We can get revelation, knowledge, and wisdom for life from God. How? How? Jesus did not study, but he learned. How? Don't turn me off when I give you the quick answer. We're going to go deeper. Through intimacy with the Father. Now, Jesus' pattern, you know his pattern in the Bible, it's recorded. He got up a great deal before day and he went to pray. And at evening time, he often went aside from everybody else and he spent much time in prayer, alone. And in the evening, he would spend a lot of time alone with the Father. Prayer. That's all the Bible tells us that he did, just as he prayed. And I don't believe that it was praying like you pray your wish list to God, like, God, I wish you'd fix so-and-so. I wish you'd send me some money. I wish you'd help my, you know, all that. No, I don't think he prayed that way. And I don't think Jesus was praying words all the time. I don't think he was just shooting words to God. You know, you see paintings of Jesus that there's a great big rock and he's there by that rock, you know, and he's praying. And you see pictures like that. Well, I'm sure there were times that he was just still and alone. But most of the time, I don't think he spent praying like that. I think that but times besides just being in awe and wonder where you are still, I think that times of prayer will take you deeper and deeper inside the mind of God and the heart of God, and he will show you things that you could never know on your own. And he does it through this one word, meditation. Meditation. In fact, we are never told to study the scriptures. I'm waiting for somebody to say, foul, that is not true. Because the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. No, it doesn't do that. That's a very poor interpretation. You can look up any concordance on the planet. And that word that translators have put in their study is not the word study. It is the word be diligent. And it's the only place in the Bible it says, and it's falsely translated, it says study. No, you don't study the Bible like you study a map or you study a book. No, no, no. If you do that, it's all up here in your brain. It's all intellect. It's all not, you can learn knowledge, you can go to school, but you are not going to understand the Word of God, and you're not going to understand the mind of God by studying. God tells us how to treat His Word. He talks to us so much about meditation. Study is focusing on the intellect of the mind. God's not against the mind. You're to love the Lord your God with all your mind. It's part of the process. But meditation goes deeper than the mind. Meditation involves the mind. You have to have the mind to be able to meditate. But it goes deeper and into the creative part of you and into your heart and into your imagination. And the things of God are purposely mysterious. Purposely. God intentionally has hidden some things from your intellect that your intellect will never find out. He's hidden them on purpose. And they can only be discovered by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's the way God designed it. Jesus' own words, Matthew 11:25. Look at what he said. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have what? Hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed them to the babes, the untaught. So obviously he's pointing out something here that we need to see. He's pointing out here that you don't understand and learn the things of God by your intellect. See, I see prayer as a form of meditation, but prayer as meditation when you're thinking God's thoughts, talking over God's thoughts with Him, walking and talking and receiving revelation. I think when Jesus had those times alone in prayer, I think He was probably walking and talking. He was sitting sometimes. Sometimes He'd sit. Sometimes He'd kneel. Sometimes He'd be on His face on the ground. And then sometimes He'd just get up and walk back and forth. And He had an ongoing conversation with the Father, asking questions, receiving insight. And it was a relationship of intimacy with talking and walking and going back and forth and getting instructions and teachings. Meditation is not emptying the mind. Now, the Eastern form of meditation is you got to empty your mind. Empty your mind. We don't do that with meditation in the Bible. It's filling the mind with the Word, with God's thoughts. It could be the Word. It could be a dream that God's given you. It could be just the image of Jesus. But it involves careful revolving of Scripture primarily in your mind and musing upon each word, pondering and talking to God about it. It's that intimate, you've engaged into a deeper form of prayer where you're not just talking to God, you're interactive with God now. We're asking questions, we're learning, and we're receiving information and knowledge and revelation. See, talking to God's not what God wants from you. He wants communion with you. And sometimes communion with God is so deep, there's no words. You just sit in stillness and silence. And yet God's talking to your spirit, and you pick up on it like, and you can't even speak, or you don't want to speak. And this heart-to-heart connection is what I'm talking about. God wants this to happen in your life. It takes time, and you have to be intentional that I'm going to meditate with God. I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to receive from God. He said, I will instruct you. I will teach you. I will counsel you with my eye. That's His intention. Now, let me give you some scriptures where the word meditation shows up so you'll know I'm not crazy. Psalm 1, you're very familiar with this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, which represents his word, you what? Meditate day and night. And then he'll be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. His roots go down deep. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf won't wither nor fail. And whatever he does, God says he will. He'll what? He'll prosper. Would you like to prosper in everything you do? Well, God just says, if you'll do this, you'll prosper in everything you do. If you'll start doing this. And tonight, I'm going to give you some exercise. You could start doing this tonight and see a difference in your life before Sunday. Psalm 119. David wrote, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Thy testimonies, the stories of God, the things that God's done in my life, the things God's done in your life, the things that we know about, the healings and the miracles, these testimonies, they're my meditation. I go over them and over them again in my mind and talk to God about it. And now in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 4:15. Paul told Timothy as a young pastor, he said, meditate upon these things, the prophecies you've been given, the word you've been given, the things God's done in your life, the things I've taught you. Meditate upon these things and give yourself wholly to them that thy profiting may be seen by everybody. So when you meditate upon the things of God, people are going to notice you are getting stronger. You are getting better. I can see growth in your life. I can see change. I can see you're becoming more spiritual when you meditate. And then the famous one, Joshua 1:8, God told Joshua right before he went into the promised land, he's taken over from Moses. Moses has died. And he tells Joshua, this is my plan. This is what you got to do. This book of the law, my word, will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night and night and day. You'll meditate in it that you may observe to do everything that's written therein. And when you do, you'll make your own way prosperous and you'll have good success in everything you do. How? Meditate. Nowhere did he say, now study my word. No, meditate. And God means something by this word. It's very, very important. Now, how do I meditate? I'm going to just tell you from personal experience. If I'm meditating like on a scripture like I've been meditating since yesterday on Psalm 32, verse 8, I get a little 3x5 card. I suggest you get them. Get you a stack of them. And I write out, I don't write out cursive, I print it. I print out the scripture that I'm meditating on. Sometimes I put several versions down that maybe speak to my heart more about it. But I write it on a card. I write the address at the top of the scripture. I write the scripture, and then I write the address again, usually at the bottom. Now, if you need a little, if you're trying to memorize it, don't let trying to memorize it take over the process of meditation, because then you slip over in the intellect part and the study part. And you need to stay over in the right brain part, the creative part, the artistic part, where God might want to show you something or teach you things. And if you meditate, you'll automatically memorize it over time, because it'll be in your heart, see. So I'm not trying to memorize scripture. That can be a study. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm not trying to memorize scripture. I'm just writing this on a card so I can keep it with me. And then I talk to God about it. Lord, I thank you. You said you're going to instruct me. God, you'll instruct me. What does instruction mean? It must mean something different from teaching, because you said I'll instruct you and I'll teach you. And you don't just throw words in there. So God, what is it? What's the difference between instruction and teaching? And as I'm just walking back and forth, and I'm praying and talking to God about this, thoughts come into my head that I know are not my own. And God will just, it's like a thought will come to my head. Well, instruction is giving you, a particular about something I want you to do. Call so-and-so. Minister to so-and-so. Stop by and see this person. Write this person a letter. I'm giving you instructions on what to do. And teaching you is different. Teaching you is I'm teaching you, oh, now this is my way of doing things. This is how you walk in love, by forgiving or whatever. It's teaching. I'm doing, see, as I'm talking to myself, but God is talking to me through my own voice. He is. Scripture says in Romans, it says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. It comes out of your own mouth. God will speak through your own mouth sometimes. As I'm meditating, these thoughts and things are coming to me. I'm talking to myself, but God is talking to me through me talking to myself. Now I done let the cat out of the bag. I know you already, boy, he's far out there, man. He's gone. No. I talk to God about it while I'm murmuring on the scripture. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm murmuring it back to myself. God's right here with me. And he and I are having this conversation. And he's teaching me. So I talk to God about it. I ask a lot of questions. Now, God, you said, what do you mean you're going to counsel me with your eye? How in the world do you counsel somebody with an eye? How do you do that? That's how I talk to God. And he gives me answers back. And he gave me the insight about the eye represents my all-seeing eye of knowledge. I know everything about you. I know your family that you don't even know. I know ancestry. I know everything you've got. I know why you think the way you think. I know the words are going to come out of your mouth before you even think them. I know everything about you. I'm going to counsel you with my all-seeing eye that I know everything about you and how you think and when you get stressed, why you do this and why you think this way. I know everything about you. I'm going to counsel you with that eye. Amen or oh me. And then I always, when I'm going into prayer meditation, I take a pad of, I don't have one with me right now, but I take a pad of paper and a pen with me. Why? I'm expecting God to talk to me. He said, call unto me and I'll answer you. Why would you call somebody if they ain't going to pick up the phone? He's going to answer me. So I have a pad of paper. And why do I take a pad of paper and a pen? Well, you don't have to, it ain't hard to remember when God tells you something. But sometimes, folks, the flow will hit. I mean, the faucet comes on and it's a gusher. And God will start to give you revelation so much so that you can't even keep up with it. And you can't even write down as fast as you need to write all the things that he's showing you. And you have to say, God, oh, slow down, Father. I can't even keep up with you. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? Only a few. Isn't that sad? That's sad. This is available to everybody. God's not any respecter of persons. He wants to have you to have experiences with him that come out of meditation that you can't get any other way. The preacher can preach his finest sermon and be the most anointed that he's ever been and preach a word that comes right into your heart, but it won't be any better than when God's on the inside of you showing you, now, son, look at this. Daughter, let me show you this. And God shows you that personally rather than through a preacher. He shows you and you go, whoa, wow. He wants you to have that moment. It's good that you got a preacher. It's good that you got teachers. But it's better that you got God on the inside saying, now, son, you're going to be my apprentice. I'm going to teach you how to get revelation for yourself. I'm going to instruct you. Now, do you get the idea of what I'm trying to talk to you about tonight? Now, I want to warn you that once you start, and it's like you hit a gusher. And this ain't just for preachers. And you hit a moment where God starts flooding you with revelation and insight and singing and things happen. And this can take hours. I mean, it'll go on and on and on. You go, an hour ain't long enough. I need more. I need more time. Now, you're all looking at me like you have any idea what I'm talking about because you haven't experienced it. But this week, I'm going to give you some tools to help you. You can experience time with God that's going to absolutely change the way you live. The process of meditation really is likened to digestion in a sheep. You know, the Lord, Lord's like a shepherd, and we know the 23rd Psalm, and you know what the shepherd does? He guides the sheep out in the morning to green pastures. And they feed while there's dew still on the grass. And so they eat and they eat and they eat. And then they eat to the point when they finally get done with that, then they lie down. They're full and they lie down. Now, their bellies are full and they sit there. And then after a while, some of that food that they ate comes back up. And they spit out little twigs and maybe little stones and things because they were just gobbling everything up they could get. And then they come back down, and that food goes back down again into other chambers. And it's interesting that a sheep's stomach has four chambers. Four chambers. Just like a person's heart has four chambers. The meditation of the word is supposed to get into your heart. And meditation is like digestion. It's a process. You can't read it, just go zip, zip, zip. I read the word, put my Bible away, and think it's going to affect your heart. It never gets there. It only went in your brain. And it'll be gone before you go to bed. So God never wanted you just to read his word and say, oh, I read my word. It didn't help you probably a bit. He wanted you to meditate on it. Slow down. Talk to him about it. See if he has anything to share with you about this. And the process of digestion is a process. And the word, when you meditate on the word, it's a process for a lot of different things that it has to go through, you see. So you get this till you get the revelation. And so each time this food comes up back up in the mouth of the sheep, he spits out whatever he needs to spit out, and then he swallows it, and each time he swallows it, it goes down into a different chamber. And through this whole process, his body is able to extract the nutrients that he needs from the food. And in the same way, if you just read the word and read it, put it away, the devil probably stole it about 3-4 minutes after that anyway. You don't even remember what you read because you didn't meditate on it. You don't extract the nutrients out of the word. You don't get the revelation that God was intending to show you something that could have revolutionized your whole life. Now, you say, preacher, I got a busy life. I got to work. I can't be like you and go out there and spend an hour or two walking around talking to God in your backyard. I got to work. I got to raise the kids. I got to cook supper for my husband or whatever it is. And it sure seems like it's a waste of time to me. It does seem like it's a waste of time. But it's actually advancing time in your life. And if you don't have the mind of God, you'll think, I ain't got time for that. I don't think that way, or I don't get anything out of that. See, the real problem is, It is that you don't value this yet and seeing what you'll get out of it. And if you see what you'll get out of it, man, you'll make the time. You make the time for what you really want to do. You do. You make the time for what you want to do with your life. Listen, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You don't need to look it up. Just listen. Deuteronomy 6 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. And with these words which I command you shall be in your heart. Where does God want your heart, the word to reside? In your heart. And he says, you shall diligently teach them to your children, and you'll talk of them. Then he mentions four times. You'll talk of the word of God when you sit in your house. Number two, when you walk by the way. Number three, when you lie down at night. Number four, when you rise up in the morning. And I guarantee you 98% of God's people are not doing that. even though he tells you. You say, well, I ain't got time to do that. I got to live. I got things. God knows your work. He knows you got to work. He knows you have to raise children. You got to pay the bills. You got to take care of the house, whatever it is. He knows that. He's not trying to make your life harder. The good thing is that you can meditate anywhere, anytime, any place. Even while you're working, while you're driving in the car, while you're waiting in line at the store. That's why I always keep my card with me, and I pull it out, and if I'm waiting in line. I was waiting in line at the bank today, man. I just pull my card out, and I'm just going over. I'm meditating. And if the devil is causing you some kind of delay in your life, I guarantee you he'll get you up there number one in line real quick because he don't like you doing that. I've seen that happen. I just knew the devil was trying to put a delay on me and trying to slow me down. Okay, well, I'll just redeem the time then. And I meditate on the word. And next thing you know, I'm first. Now, you can meditate anywhere, anytime. And you can include it in whatever you do. Give me just another minute, and I'm going to give you something to take home with you. The Bible says in Psalm 4:4, it says, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Selah means, now, stop and think about that. Commune with your own heart, not commune with God, but commune with your own heart. But where's God? He's in your heart. So when you're communing with your own heart, you're communing with God upon your bed. When you go home tonight, I want to encourage you to do this. If you haven't done it already, I want you to, I'd ask you just to kneel down beside your bed, lay your hands on your bed, and declare that your bed is now an altar of God. Because when you go to sleep at night, it's when you're most vulnerable. And Satan attacks. And he brings thoughts in your mind. And he brings all kinds of temptations to you when you're tired and when you're vulnerable. Dedicate your bed to the Lord. See? And let your last thought be scripture. So one scripture that you're just meditating with God about. See? And that'll go into your mind while you're asleep at night, and God will... He'll wash your brain over a period of time, and you'll quit having some of those dreams that you were having. He'll wash your brain out like a washing machine with his word. Word saturation. Beth Galbraith, come on up. I wouldn't even call you because I didn't want to scare you, and you start thinking about, uh-oh, now what am I going to say? I thought best it'd just be better to put you on the spot and you'll speak spontaneously from the heart. Tell them about what the Lord gave you to do about word saturation. Hold that real close to you.
The Lord called me. He spoke to me to lead a class or a group just to have people come together, and he'd be with us and we'd read the word. Just reading the word.
Reading the word. Simple as that.
And we're going to start this in January. And we're going to have a start at a certain time, end at a certain time, and there'll be some instruction. And just for people, we're just going to read the word out loud. And everybody's just going, we're going to sit there and read the word and just let's see what God does.
Meditate. And that's meditate. What some of the, you probably have words to take home and meditate from what we do there. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's going to start in January. It'd be one night. You just come and for an hour, we're just going to read the word out loud. Different people take turns to read the word out loud. You say, I can do that at home, I know, but you can do it corporately too. Okay. Now, we'll tell you more about that later on. Most of us are living way too much of a hurry. Way too much of a hurry. Which causes stress. Hurry is the opposite of God's way. Most of our hurry is flesh, and it's not God. Yesterday, I lost my reading glasses. I don't like having to use them. I pray in God fix me to where I don't have to use them, whatever. But I lost them. I needed them, and I was walking around the house, and I said, Lord, you know where my glasses are. Just tell me. So I keep looking and look. I went back over everywhere I was. I said, Lord, what's wrong? How come you won't just tell me? I know you're with me. I said, where are my glasses? And this thought hit my head and my brain just like that. He said to me, be patient, Mr. Washburn. Just like that. That's the same way my wife says to me every once in a while. She'll say, now be patient, Mr. Washburn. And he said it the exact same way. I laughed. Okay, I quit getting in a huff. And I said, okay. And I looked about 30 more seconds, and sure enough, there they were. You know where they were? Right where I left them. He showed me, but it was a process. He said, be patient, Mr. Washburn. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. And that's what he said to me. God said, I'll instruct you. I'll teach you. I'll counsel you. See, with God, everything is a teachable moment. Everything in your life. Nothing is coincidental. Today, you've had multiple teachable moments, and I don't know if you recognized them. The Lord was trying to instruct you, trying to teach you, trying to counsel you. It's like this. Oh, beautiful orange. Fresh. And I was thinking about this today. I was eating an orange, and I said, well, Lord, why did you make the orange like you made it? Sections. Why did he make sections of orange? It's not like an apple or a grape, you know, a grape. But he, who said that? Who so you could share? That's what I thought. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking today, and that's what I thought in my mind. I didn't say, the Lord didn't say, no, I said this, but in my mind, so you could, one way, well, you could share, you know, you could just share it with people. And you could just savor a little bit at a moment, you know, and you could, there's a multitude of reasons. There's a multitude of reasons for that, you know, and you're welcome. And just track with me for a moment. I want to wrap this up here. A multitude of reasons. Now that's just skimming the surface. But do you think the creator, the designer of the orange, had maybe more specific reasons than we're aware of why he made the orange the way he made it? Why it comes in at a certain time of the year? You know, high vitamin C, and I mean, there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a wealth of wisdom waiting to be discovered. There are life principles here, too. We could learn some life. If we would meditate with God about the orange, there are life principles. He would show us life principles. We'd turn around and make a sermon out of them. People would go, you got that out of the orange? I said, yeah, no, meditation. George Washington Carver, fascinating man. He asked God one day, he's a strong believer. He asked the Lord, he said, Lord, would you share with me the secrets of the universe? And he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, little man, that's too much for you. But I will share with you the secrets inside a peanut, because you could handle that. And he said, okay, Lord, then teach me the secrets of the... And he meditated. This is about meditation. This is prayer and meditation, conversing with God, talking to God back and forth, pad of paper, write things down. God gives you ideas. And he meditated on the peanut with the creator of the peanut. Tell me about the peanut. What's the secret of the peanut? How do I do this? How do I learn? And God showed him over 300 inventions came out of the peanut that we use today. Food, oil, paint, ink, soap, shampoo, facial cream, plastics. He did the same thing with sweet potato. He did the same thing with several other things. And the Lord just showed out of meditation. See, Daniel 2:8 says, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. I had a dream the other night, and I'm not going to tell you all the details of the dream. It'll take too long. But I was puzzled by it. And yesterday I spent time. I said, Lord, you got to tell me, because I asked you the night before I went to sleep. I said, would you give me dreams again? It's been a while since I've been having dreams. Give me dreams again. And I had a dream. It's kind of silly. But I asked the Lord the next day. I said, now, will you help me to discern what are you saying to me through this dream? And I had to get out and walk in my backyard and pray and talk and have my pad of paper and go back and forth and talk to God about each little part here and there. And next, do you know, man, he gave me a flood. He gave me a flood of things that I went, whoa, wow, God of wonder, wow. Because I took the time to meditate and join with him. And he liked that. And out of that intimacy, he shared things with me. Psalm 32:8. I, the Lord, will instruct you. I will teach you. I will counsel you with my eye. I will. Do you believe it? I want to give you some homework. No. This is, I don't even like calling it homework, because work sounds, you know, hard. It's not hard. It's easy. So I want to, Brother Joe, you help me pass these things out here. Let me take one off the top there and maybe another gentleman over here, would you mind helping him pass them out quickly? This is some meditation exercises. I'm going to kind of go over some of the details that I already taught you about. And you take this home. If you'll invest the time, God will disciple you and teach you. He wants you to go deeper, folks. Isn't it time we go deeper with the Lord? Amen. Well, you don't need to go over it all right now. Just take it and spend and glean out of it what you feel like God wants you to do, and then apply it. Because God will instruct you, he'll teach you, he'll counsel you, but you're going to have to give him your time. He'll give you inventions. There's somebody, some folks need some up here in the front too. Right in the front, Carl, over here to the left, too. Your left, right over there. Mm-hmm. Yep, right there. Okay. Let's all just stand to our feet. Thank you for giving me a little extra time tonight. God is saying, I want you to give him, he wants you to give him a little extra time in your life. Don't be in a hurry. Especially when you're dealing with God. If you try to hurry God, you can forget it. It ain't going to work. You can shut off everything in a moment you try to hurry God. Now, let's just lift your hands to the Lord. Invite him to instruct your heart. Go ahead, verbally. Just invite him to instruct your heart, to teach you new things, and to counsel you like he said he wants to. I will instruct you, I will teach you, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So if you'll give God the time, he'll answer this prayer you just prayed this week with revelation knowledge. I pray for you, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I pray the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling for you. He's got something in mind. It isn't just retire. It isn't just pay off the mortgage. It isn't just continue to coast. He's got plans for you. And you need to know what his hope is for your life. And he's willing to share it with you and show you this week. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Your word won't return void. I know it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you. You are blessed of the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.